Okay, everybody, welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. My name is Brother Carlos, and I am very happy and excited to see you here this evening. For those of you that are in-house, praise the Lord. And for those of you that are tuning in with us online, I do want to thank God for your support by showing us some love virtually. But we do prefer for you to come in physically, as you're going to see tonight. Scripturally, there is definitely a greater and better benefit of doing that than not fellowshipping in person. Amen. All right, so with that said, just a couple of general announcements, as we do every week for those of you who come to church. It's very clear here. We have our address and contact information here on our website that you can visit us at for any other questions as it pertains to where are we located, our phone number, etc. We have our office hours as well. If you'd like to meet with me, give us a call, and I'd be more than happy to schedule an appointment with you. Sunday services, 1 o'clock and 1:45. Those are our service schedules. Tonight, Wednesday night Bible study, 7 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. And then we have our Friday night discipleship class. That is our current schedule of what's going on. You can click on any of these here tabs to learn a little bit more about us. We're going to click on this prayer tab, as it is the most important announcement that we want to make and ask of you to participate in, and that is submitting a prayer request. We would like to pray with you, pray for you, for whatever is taking place or going on within your life. We do ask and pray that you would consider putting in a prayer request, or if you have some good news, you have a praise report that you'd like to share with the world, or let somebody know what's going on and how the Lord is blessing you, that it can be an encouragement to others. You can put that in here as well. We'd like to make that known as well. Current and future ministries, by God's grace, Saturdays we go soul winning. We go downtown Oceanside, street preaching, passing out gospel tracts, trying to share Jesus Christ with the world. Live stream, currently live streaming through the Facebook church page, YouTube, and eventually we'll get back on our podcasts. Last two references here, Bible study resources and helps. I do pray that you would consider checking out these amazing, cool websites. These are other great churches and Christian ministries that love the Lord, are doing great things. We've benefited from them greatly as it pertains to the teaching they offer, like history of the Bible, Bible doctrines, missions, etc., etc. One of my favorites are One for Israel, as they are reaching out to the Jew right now for Jesus Christ in the land of Israel. That's pretty amazing. And then Brother Lordson all the way from India. And then all these great other brethren with their great ministries. Amen. So with that said, those were our announcements this evening. And without further ado, let's go ahead and get started with our midweek Bible study fellowship. If you would please turn in your Holy Bible with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, that is going to be the base text of our study this evening. And I do ask that you turn there with me, and let's read together as we come together as a church to be edified by God's Word, the Bible. I do encourage you to look up on the scriptures here with us this evening, so you can see that what we're going to present to you this evening is not man's word, but God's word. And I say that for a reason, because obviously there's a lot of folks that don't want to read scripture or want to argue against scripture because of their false approach to it, as if it is just a man-made, a man-inspired doctrine. But praise God, to us it is God's word. It is His holy word, the Bible. We cannot forget that. And as I emphasized in our last Sunday service, that we need to start considering the word of God as God said here, God said there, rather than just trying to cling to the penmen, not the inspirer of those penmen. Paul said, Peter said, James said, to try to build a whole system off them, rather the Holy Spirit said. That's what we need to remind ourselves of this evening. So with that said, 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, here's what the Bible says, starting in verse number 1. The Bible says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather, this is chapter 14, sorry. 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 1. This is the Apostle Paul Paul, an apostle, as he is writing to the church at Corinth, the Holy Spirit put this in his heart to pen, and this is what we're going to read. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. So God, I thank you for this evening. I want to thank you, Lord, for those that faithfully came to church today, Lord. What a blessing it is to see that. I want to thank you, Lord God, for those who are going to be edified by watching us online or hearing us later. But Lord, aside from me, Lord, I just pray that you would remove me as a man, and any feelings, Lord God, that would not hinder the Holy Spirit from doing his work, as I just want to be a vessel presenting and feeding your church the Holy Word of God, the Bible, because I believe it is your word. These are your words, God, and these words are what changes lives, God. And so this evening, I pray your Holy Spirit to help us and strengthen us in the word, so our lives can change. Help us to have ears to hear and eyes to see what you have for us to learn this evening, so we could honor you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we must begin this sermon or this message titled Charity Never Faileth by going back one chapter in the last verse of that chapter to remind ourselves of the direction that Paul is going in teaching the brethren at Corinth. You also have to remember that this church here at Corinth was a very carnal church. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 1 that they are sanctified, that they're saved, filled with knowledge, filled with spiritual gifts, but they were carnal. That is, they were walking as men who are not saved. Why? Because of sin, and giving in to sin and sinful desires, rather than the Spirit and the Spirit's desires. And in that walk out in the flesh as they're living as Christians, it is going to be what's going to determine them either spiritual or carnal. And so you got to remember 1 Corinthians chapters 1 through essentially 12. Call it out as it is. They remind us of the heart of the believer, that we could be saved. We could have gifts. We may have some knowledge. But as soon as I choose to walk out after my flesh, you know, like my feelings, anger, pride, bitterness, and all these sensations, I can easily go from being spiritual to being carnal. And so let's start from 1 Corinthians 12:31 to remind us of the direction of where he's heading this evening. And he says here in verse number 21, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way." Notice, a more excellent way. So Paul continues his thought and teaching from earlier passages of Scripture in regards to gifts the Holy Spirit dispenses or gives out to any sinner upon their conversion. And as they walk after the Spirit by obedience to the Word of God, their fellowship one with another is the protein, if you will, that aids their gifts to increase and to grow and to become more effective and soon natural. But this only takes place when one or more are gathered. That is, when members come together in unity in their local church assembly. This charity that we are seeking to administer and to express only happens when there is someone else to express it unto. So, wherein when gifts can be used according to the will of God, praise the Lord. I won't go into detail tonight to go over all these things, as in chapter 12, but we're here to learn, rather, and focus on verse 31 by the statement that Paul said that the Christian could covet. That is, literally, one of the only positive mentions of the word covet in your Holy Bible. Usually, covet is used in a negative connotation, but here, coveting is something good. It's to covet the best gifts. Notice, that same desire that your flesh has, that urge to covet after sin and idolatry and all those other things that you read about, Lord said you can take that energy and you can ask Him, Lord, I'd like some spiritual gifts that I don't have. But there's something superior to the best gifts. Notice, there's something far more excellent than all those gifts that God has. And He says here, I show unto you a more excellent way. Now, how amazing that this apostle could say to a church that he's helped personally and taken into consideration the privilege that he has had himself in personal relationship with the Lord, intimate Bible school and revelation and wisdom given to him. Paul says there is a more excellent way. There is this Christian virtue called charity that is superior to any other ability provided by God for the Christian. You see, charity is a supernatural virtue, and it's given to all who call upon Christ in faith. Once you become a born-again Christian, God empowers you with this charity that the Bible talks about, and we're going to define it this evening. And it's the supernatural virtue given to us once we become born again. We are empowered with this virtue of Christ that resembles the Savior's light the best way in this dark and perverse world we live in. Now, unlike these modern Bible versions, what they'll do is modify the following word, charity, to the more general sense, love. But you see, this charity isn't like general love, worldly love. For here's what Jesus said in regards to unbelievers expressing love one toward another. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 5, look at what He says in verse 46. Matthew 5, verse 46. This is what the Lord said. He said, "For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same?" Do you know that even tax collectors can show love one towards another? Unbelievers can demonstrate the same. Look at what He says in Matthew 24, verse number 12, in regards to the word love and how all can simply express it with or without Spirit of God in them. Matthew 24, verse number 12. And He says, "Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." In these last days, human beings are going to decrease in their love that they already have, yet as it gets closer to the end of the world, it's going to diminish. Look at what Luke 6 says, again, describing the word love, that even unbelievers can demonstrate. Therefore, charity is not your average love. Look at what the Lord said in Luke 6, verse number 32. He says, "For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them." So charity is not just an average kind of love that sinners can obviously display all day long. My unbelieving family members demonstrate love to their unbelieving children. My unbelieving co-workers demonstrate love to their family members and their co-workers and their neighbors and every... Homosexuals love each other. People living in a non-married life love each other. Boyfriends living with girlfriends, having sex, it's all that. You understand that the world has a love. Therefore, charity is a love that is not of this world. as it's used in our Holy Bible, our King James Bible, in 1 Corinthians 13. So charity is unique to our King James Bible, and as we believe in it, God chose this word to adequately represent a truth, something superior to the average love of this world. Charity is a Christ-honoring, God-honoring, Holy Spirit-guided motivation that calls upon us to act out from and demonstrate one toward another. Notice how the Holy Spirit defines and describes the word charity as we look at these definitions and this further explanation here in 1 Corinthians 13, church. Look at what he says here in regards to charity. In verse number 4, he says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Notice how the Holy Spirit describes charity. And when you think of the general word love, and our unbelieving world around us can display and express love one towards another, they can show love while in an unbelieving state of mind towards God, because they're not honoring God by their love one for another. The homosexual that loves the other homosexual is a love, but it is not honoring God. It's not Christ honoring. There is no truth mixed with it. Therefore, it's not charity. It's not that type of love that is empowered by Christ. The worldly love that an adulterous couple may have, or rebellious kids, etc., etc., they all have a form of love. They can display something good that somebody else may say, well, look at that. But inwardly, it's not motivated by honoring Jesus, honoring the Bible. That's how you and I can clearly distinguish between charity and just love, this love of the world. Now, this is how the word is defined for us. And if we listen to what the Spirit has to say unto us tonight, remember, the Word of God is alive. We have to let the Word of God be true for us today, church. We have to let the Word of God read us. We have to let the Bible identify our habits, our worries, our cares, our sins. And whatever you are living out right now in your faith with and your walk with God while you're living in the flesh, you have to let the Word of God deal with that this evening, as it says in Hebrews 4:12. Now, the progression of order that I'd like to help us to understand, how do we then identify charity? Am I living out charitably? Am I displaying this Christ-like love of charity towards my church as I say that I'm a Christian? How do I know that, Brother Carlos? Can you help me? I'll get there. We'll get to the application. But I want to give you a quick progression of order. You see, you have to remember, friend, that we were once lost, and then we were found. We were lost, and then we became saved. We were living in this world under the lusts of it, the pride of it, and the sin of it, inspired by the devil and his devils and temptation and flesh and lust and all that. And yet, when we became a born-again Christian, the Bible says we became no longer a member. I'm sorry, we didn't become. We were born again, and we were delivered from this world. We are no longer of the world, although we physically live in the world. Therefore, our Christ-like habits or Christian mentalities are spiritually and heavenly given, not necessarily earthly as we had it naturally being born. We went from darkness to light. So progressing in charity, or learning in charity, or maturing in charity, it's going to take time, Christian. And that's why tonight I'm hoping this Bible study will help you. The third thing that we see in the progression of how this thing came about is we went from a babe to being a man. Now, just like you here this evening, some of you just celebrated birthdays and you became a year older. Notice you went from being a child to a teenager to a young adult to an adult. It takes time to mature, just like you have in the flesh. You understand what I'm saying. You have to learn your ABCs, the basics, to then put those syllables and words together to pronounce, etc., just like you and I have as a child. It's like that with our Christian faith. when you got saved, you didn't get it all overnight, amen. You made plenty of mistakes in your early years and walk with the Lord because you are still learning. You just came out of darkness. You're brought into light, and while you're living in all this darkness around you, all those habits and all that worldly influence, it's going to do its best to attack you and hinder you and prevent you from walking out in the light. And therefore, you're maturing from a babe in the light, in the faith, unto teenager, young adult, eventually to manhood, as we're going to see how Paul says, when he became a man, he put childish things behind. And we're going to talk about that in our Christian maturity and our attitudes one toward another. So I'd like to show you now quickly some key verses to consider when we talk about charity. Again, I'd like to point out for you the differences of charity. Charity does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. The big one here is thinking no evil. You want to ask yourself, if I am displaying charity towards my spouse or my children or my coworkers or my friends, is the thought in your brain evil? I mean, that's point blank. If so, okay, pray about it. Ask God to help you with it. Think not on that thing. Resist it and think on Scripture. Think on truth. Do you get provoked easily to anger, to wrath, to pride? That's not a charitable attitude, and that's not the charity that Christ has empowered you to exercise. But you can. That's the good news. Verse 6, charity rejoiceth not in iniquity. If you are maturing in your Christian walk, you're not going to rejoice in sin anymore. And I'm not here to point any fingers, but I'm going to point the finger first to myself. As I'm maturing in my Christian, my faith and my Christian walk, certain movies I used to watch, I don't watch anymore. Certain things I used to do, I don't do anymore, because I am not going to conform to those patterns of the world where my attitude approves of indirectly, even by my association. I'm not going to rejoice in sin. I'm not going to rejoice in iniquity. Today, a coworker was talking to another coworker about something that happened to somebody's vehicle and how they crashed it. And you know what they did? They literally rejoiced together about something bad that happened to somebody else. Like, oh, that person deserved it. And in my heart, I immediately thought about that verse because I said, whoa. Although my flesh says, yeah, that's right. The spirit man says, wait a second. We don't rejoice with that anymore. And so I suppressed that thought. I said, man, Lord, take this thought from me. I am not going to rejoice in iniquity, but I'm going to rejoice in the truth. Notice the 6 in verse 6, the description of charity rejoices with truth. You see, when you agree with the Bible and you obey the Bible as a woman or as a man, you are therefore going to display the attitude of charity amongst those areas in your life. If you're a wife or if you're a husband and the things that are needed of that, a work or in a workplace, etc., you're going to express charity and an attitude and a mindset that is in agreement with the truth of God's word. That's why I'm telling you the difference between love and charity. The love of this world does not rejoice in truth, because again, the homosexual, the unbeliever, the gangster, the murderer, they all have a form of love, but it doesn't rejoice in Christ honoring truth. They could care less about God. And then verse 7, charity beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. As we look at these verses to consider, remember these verses in the back of your mind. And as you and I are meditating upon these verses and these words of Scripture that we're going to read, I want you to ask yourself as we go through these together, church, in your mind, take some mental notes. Am I following this power that I have now? Am I exercising it? Am I walking with it or against it? Am I believing all things, enduring all things, hoping all things in my church, with my church members and my church friends? Am I expressing charity or am I not? And I want to encourage you with the following verses to therefore expound our understanding of who empowers us with this ability to walk out in charity, Christian love, that is God-honoring love, and some other words that will help us to put that into practice. Now, here's what the Bible says in Luke 6:21. This is going to be our first stop this evening. Luke chapter 6, Verse number 27, I apologize. Luke 6, verse 27. Here's going to be our first stop this evening. Again, we are just considering some verses in regards to charity, who empowers us to do it, why do we do it, and then maturing therefrom as we learn and engage more. Here's what Jesus said. But I say unto you who want to listen to me. That's not what he said. But I say unto you when you are ready to hear it. I say unto you when you feel good. I say unto you which hear. You know what's sad? You have a choice to listen to God or ignore God. I like how Jesus says, I say unto you which hear. I'm going to receive the word of God into my heart when the preacher's preaching, the teacher's teaching, and I'm going to receive what the Spirit of God has to say to me through the scriptures because I am willing to hear him. But when I am not willing to hear him, I am not going to live it out, point blank. Again, first one to raise my hand, because I'm not putting nobody else on blast. I'm putting myself on blast. I am not surprised why I gave into sin because of X, Y, Z. You know why? It didn't start with the other person. It started with me when I didn't want to listen to God. How do I therefore mature in charity, or how do I mature over my habits? You know why? Because I listen to him now. I say, whoa, that's what you said about it, God. I am not going to do that. Whoa, that's what you said about this, Lord. I am so sorry. I'm going to surrender. I'm going to repent. I am not going to do that anymore, Lord. Why? Because I'm listening to you. So again, think in the back of your mind now. I want to follow charity. I want the excellent way. I want to follow something that's superior to gifts and all this. But I need to listen to God. I need to listen to his word. No matter how it comes out of the preacher's mouth, you got to listen to the scriptures. The Lord says to love your enemies and to do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. This love that he is calling on his followers to therefore live out, it's going to be a love displayed by him. You say, what do you mean by that? Notice how the Lord says, love your enemies. You know what Jesus did on the cross? He asked the Father to forgive them, for they knew not what they were doing. I'm just paraphrasing it for you. When you have people that counter you in the workplace or counter you in your family, the Lord said, love them, point blank. Love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. That's charity. Why? Charity envieth not. Charity does not behave itself unseemly. Charity seeketh not her own. When I go to the workplace, no matter how tough my boss man may be and rich and crude and rude, I have a God I serve. I have a God who's in me, who's in helping me to work through the motions of my sins, and he wants me to do good. That's what 1 Peter 3 says for a coworker in the workplace. If you're an employee, I'm paraphrasing it, but not only to the gentle, but to the froward, for them that are over you in the flesh. But that's only going to be lived out, church, listen, when you're going to listen to him. The only one that you can blame is you for not listening to God. So listen. Simple, right? John 13, 34. John 13, verse number 34. Let's go there next. And our Bible stop here. Again, real simple Bible study. Nothing too crazy. Not getting excited because, again, I just want to listen to him. And as I listen to him, I'm going to do what he says because my heart is attentive on his word. Holy Spirit will help us do it. John 13, 34. Look at what the Lord said. As he is speaking to his disciples here, he says here in verse number 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Now stop there. That loving one another has been around for the Jews for a long time. You know what that said in that law? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. They already had that. But notice what's new. Are you ready? Listen. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. You know what charity is, friend? Charity is loving me and me loving you as Christ loves you right now. For those of us that are married, the Bible calls husbands to love the wives as Christ loved the church. You know what Jesus did? That Bible says that he left heaven, the glory of it, the worship from it, and all the heavenly hosts and his throne, and I mean just pure bliss of holiness and righteousness, before the Word was incarnate, man, he was just amazingly enjoying his membership in the Godhead. But the Word became flesh. He was born into a human body like ours, you know, a body that has aches and pains and all that. But here we have the sinless presence of the eternal Word dwelling within a human body. That body grew. Can you imagine for the first time in ever, like we're talking about eternally and just our universe, God growing up? If that even makes sense, it doesn't even make sense to me. But he's growing up as a child, and he grows up underneath his parents' rule, and he submits to them, and he grows up with friends, and then eventually, when it's his time, Father says, okay, son, it's time for you to start your ministry. He goes out and does his thing. We know the story. But as he is expressing now love towards his disciples and teaching them and expounding to them doctrine, he says, I have something new for you guys to follow. That's to love each other. But not just with that love that you guys have been used to. Now it's going to be a love compelled by me. So let's come back to the story. Husbands, loving your wife as Christ loved the church. Jesus died for the world. Jesus died and redeemed those who call upon him that become a part of his body called the church. It's a sacrificial act of love that he did for us. No matter what, Christ never leaves the church. Amen? The Bible says he will never leave nor forsake me. So I have a wife. Oh, but my wife, she ignores me sometimes. She doesn't talk nice to me all the time, man. She raises her voice. She hurts my feelings. She disobeys God. She does all this. But, man, I'm supposed to love her as Christ loves the church. You know, church, when you sin against God and I sin against God, it does hurt his heart. It grieves him. But as soon as I come back in my heart and I pray and I say, God, would you forgive me for that? He will immediately forgive me for that. And he'll help me move along, get going. I am not going to give up on my wife. At least I shouldn't, because Christ said so. Because Christ doesn't for me right now. So now this love that he calls on his disciples to display one for another, it's not a natural love like they had in the world. A love that only works when you give in and you give out. You scratch my back, I scratch yours. You know, that kind of worldly love that only works for self-benefit. But this love is going to be motivated by him. This love that we are to have one for another, it is not going to be like any other love that we've experienced. It's going to be a love that he demonstrates. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, here's what the Bible says in verse number 4 through 7. Consider what he said. Love as I have loved. Let's go back quickly to 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. Look at what he says. Charity suffereth long. You know who's patient with you and I? Jesus. And is kind. You know who's kind with us? Jesus. Charity envieth not. You know who's not envious? Jesus. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. You know who doesn't think evil? Jesus. God. So now, these are the characteristics of the Spirit of God. And it was manifested in the person of Jesus Christ. God manifest in the flesh. And as he was living out with his disciples in the world, this is what he was physically displaying to them, which eventually spiritually would come inside of them, because the Holy Spirit would come inside, then he'll help them inwardly. But he's putting it from the word form into the action form. And eventually, I'll get to those verses later. In John chapter number 13, in verse number 35, John 13, verse number 35, this is what he says. He says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So I know how a lot of Christians want to say, oh, you know, if the world will know us if we just have love. Oh, God said he'll know you by your love. But remember the context. He's talking to his disciples. He's talking to people that believe in him. Therefore, my life is going to be in accord with Jesus, the Bible, the truths contained from it. If I, therefore, am following him and loving him, I'm going to love you like he told me to. And you, likewise, if you're following God and you're listening to him, you're going to love me like he told you to. Therefore, when the world, that is the unbelievers outside of our Christian fellowship, our Christian charity, they're going to recognize something about your gathering amongst your brothers and sisters that they don't have. Why? Because they don't have Him, but you do. So that's why I'm saying charity is this supernatural empowered virtue, an act of God. That obedience outwardly will be recognized by others. Here's what 1 Corinthians 8:3 says about people that love God. It says in verse number 3, if any man love God, the same is known of him. Notice, people will know that you love God because you are obeying His word. Your speech, your actions, everything is going to be dictated by the Master, and when you carry it out, you're literally going to be different. People will recognize something about you. You know, for me, I like to smile a lot, especially in the workplace. I just, hey, how you doing? Especially to my owner, or their, say, good morning, good morning. I purposefully try to initiate that because there is no love there in that workplace. There really isn't. There really is no joy. There's no charity. I try my best to be that example. And there's people that recognize that. Praise God. It's that verse is true right there. John 14, here's what the Lord says in John 14. It's our next stop here. We're going to start in verse number 15. He says in John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Point blank. We don't need to talk too much about it. It's pretty self-explanatory. A lot of the Marines will have that verse tattooed right there. If you love me, keep my commandments. And then we will try to call them out on those things. But what are you doing, fool, for the Lord? You know, they're out there being silly. But love that is expressed towards others is going to come from my love for God first. So if I love God first, my love for you is going to be a natural byproduct of the love that I have for Him first. Notice earlier when I said listen to Him. Verse number 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. How about that, church? Jesus said, you have my words? All right, you keeping them? Okay, you love me. And because you're keeping them, the Father himself is going to love you. And because my Father is recognizing your heart for me and him, I'm going to manifest myself to you. That's what he promised. So when all these Christians therefore feel depressed or, you know, over anxious and all these things, I don't have no peace, God, what's going on? The first question that I'm always going to ask them is this: are you listening to Jesus? Are you obeying the word of God? Are you sure? Because he says he's going to manifest himself to you. You're going to have this peace from God when you're doing what he says to do. But 9 out of 10 times, they're not, pretty much. They don't. They argue with God in some area of their life. They have sin in their life, and they try to fight through the convictions by all this outward pity that they try to display of themselves. It's sad, but it's true. Look at what verse 24 says. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. That's what Jesus said. God knows your heart. You're not going to fool him. The word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. So you say you love God, brother or sister, it's going to show, all right. But if you don't, it's going to show as well. So 1 Corinthians 8:3, if any man love God, the same is known of him. Man, look at that love that she or he has, because, man, they're loving him. They're listening to the Master. They're pleasing him. And it's just flowing out. Man, I just want to hang out with that Christian brother or sister because they're joyful. Because they're receiving all that love from the Godhead because their hearts are on him. But notice that brother or sister that, man, they don't really fellowship a lot. They don't really engage with you a lot. They don't really come to church a lot. They don't really do much for the Lord, but they believe. They're distant. They complain. They murmur. They gripe. The question I have is, are they listening to him? Are they obeying his word? Because he said that if you do, that love from the Godhead is just going to overwhelm them. He's going to manifest himself to them. So do you know what will hinder your charity from being expressed from your life unto others, Christian? It's not going to be their fault. It's not going to be the world's fault. It's going to be your fault and my fault as individuals when we choose not to obey his word from the heart. Right there. 15:17. John 15:17. Here's what the word of God says. John 15:17. Bible says, these things I command you, that you love one another. You see, charity and love is a commandment to keep. That's why I tell you, friend, it's obedience to the word of God. It's not necessarily, oh, Lord, I'm praying, Lord. Please help change my, spouse or my, whatever the case. You know how we always pray for the others? Because you're avoiding the problem, which is your heart. He says, love. That's a command. That's why I tell you it's a lack of obedience. When brethren or sisters don't express charity, they are disobeying a command from the master because their heart is not keeping his word. Romans 5:5. Remember when I said that the Holy Spirit empowers us to even have the ability to express charity? Because charity is a virtue of Christ. So Romans 5:5 says, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You see, charity, therefore, is empowered by the Holy Spirit in us. After you become a born-again Christian, man, you have access to the most powerful, peaceful force in existence, God's love. It's available with you. It's available to you to walk in, to express, and to live out and share and demonstrate unto others. Bible says right there, the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost. So when that love of God lacks from being expressed towards your brothers and sisters, it's not a lack of God in your heart. It's a lack of you for God's heart. Somebody write that down. That was pretty good. All right. If anyone wants to sow a seed on that, I'll just end the sermon right there. No, I'm just kidding. All right, Romans 12:9. Romans 12. Again, you guys know me. I just want to quote you scripture because it's pretty good. If we just leave it alone and we think on it, literally, I just like to meditate upon it. Romans 12:9. The Bible says here, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Now, what did I say earlier that we're going to consider these key verses to help us expound on charity? I know we're covering the word love here, but I want you to see how the Holy Ghost is describing Christian love. Because charity is built off all these other additives, if you will. That Bible says, let love be without dissimulation. That word dissimulation is another word for hypocrisy. Don't be a hypocrite. Mean it. You say you care for somebody, mean it. Ask them about how their day was and don't just walk away. Stand still until they tell you. Hey, how you doing, brother? You doing okay? Are you sure? I really want to know if you're okay because I love you. Now, if the other party doesn't want to open up or share, that's okay. The Lord just said when you're expressing that love, that Christian love, that charity, don't be a hypocrite about it. And if you say, brother, sister, I really don't feel like living it out right now, well, then don't act like it either. Take care of it with the Lord until you get that thing right with him and you, and then give it out in full. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Remember charity? It rejoiceth not in iniquity, but in the truth. You're following after Christ, friend, you're going to want to eventually add to your life. You're going to want to associate to your life good things that are obviously godly. There was a post on Facebook the other day. I don't mean to get to social media on the church here, but I noticed some of these posts. Some of them I ignore. Some of them are like, wow. But there was an old friend of mine who has one of their family members now engaged in a homosexual relationship. And there was a Christian in my family, I guess you could just say, who was like, congratulations, thumbs up, yeah. And I said, I just wanted to, bam, bam, bam. I was like, man, what is wrong with you? You're a Christian. You're not supposed to rejoice in iniquity. You're supposed to hate sin like God says. Charity rejoiceth with the truth. what is not true, evil, falsity. I'm going to abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. So I just posted another post talking about being a believer in God. If somebody says they believe in God and they're living contrary to the Bible, it's probably because they're not saved or they're walking carnal, I said. And, it's sad when you see Christians trying to be kind, but that's not representing charity because it's not in agreement with truth. You got to remember that. So when Christians try to be kind to the world, but with holding truth in a hypocritical manner to appease them, that's not charity, because they're conforming to that evil. It's not good. So when you decide to do that which is good, verse 10, be kindly affection one to another. Now notice what the Word of God puts in there, the Holy Ghost puts here. Brotherly love. Notice that. In honor, preferring one another. You know what charity said? Charity seeketh not her own. So now, as a Christian, I'm maturing. Remember the context. Child, I was a child. I put away childish things. I became a man. We are all at different levels in our walk with God. I get it. Some of us are a couple years old in the Lord. Some of us are 5 years, 10 years, and just getting saved. But some of us can mature. You know, it is possible to grow quicker than somebody who's been saved a long time because of your heart for the Word, and you literally letting the Word work in your life. And one of those things that you're going to see is this brotherly love continue. And that charity is an expression of preferring somebody more than yourself. And that's why my heart's best. I hope I'm doing a good job. If not, brothers and sisters call me out. It's like, man, brother, how are you doing? How are you guys doing over here? I want to make sure that others are taken care of before me. I want to cook for others before me. I want others to eat before me. Unless that steak is too dang good, the ladies are going to wait. But generally, it's my flesh. We suppress it. Amen. We hold it down. We try to be Christ-like there. But pray for me in that area. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to that. 2 Corinthians 13, verse number 11. Here's what that Bible says. 2 Corinthians 13, 11. Remember what I just said earlier again. Romans 5, 5. That charity is empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's a virtue and a gift from God as soon as he comes into our life. Here's what the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 13, 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Charity is a supernatural, Christ-honoring, Christ-empowered love, for it comes from the God of love. Notice. So there is a love of this world, 1 John 2, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, etc., etc. That's a love of this world. You guys, we all had it. Just being born, our parents taught us, the world taught us. You loved your boyfriends, your girlfriends, your drugs, your alcohol, your sex. You had a love for all that. That's the love of the world. But this God of love now, the God of the Bible, when charity is given to you, it comes upon you, or it's empowered within you when you get saved. Because that God that you put your faith and trust in is the God of love. Now you have the ability to express God's love towards others. That's charity. Charity is literally God's love being demonstrated. Galatians 5, verse 22. Here's what the Bible says. Galatians 5, 22. Remember, the Spirit of God empowers me. Upon my conversion, he's given me gifts, knowledge. I have access now in this power. And look at the first fruit listed from that presence of the Holy Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. The first of those is love. Notice the fruit of the Spirit. Ephesians 4, verse number 2. Ephesians 4, verse number 2. The Bible says here, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now notice that. Notice the words here, long suffering, forbearance, in love. Are you watching there? Okay, now keep that in mind, and let's reread 1 Corinthians, because that's our base text, and compare charity with other portions of the Scripture to help us get an understanding. Charity suffereth long. Ephesians 4:2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering. And is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Go all the way down here. Verse 7, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, forbearing one another in love. If I am walking out in charity with you, Christian, I am going to go through life with you to the end. I am not to take into consideration your lack. I'm called to fill your lack with the love and the knowledge that God gives me to help you, and you are to use what God has given you and the knowledge given you to fill where I lack. You understand? That's why Christians are commanded to assemble locally together physically, not separation, not isolation, because this charity cannot be lived out by one's self. Charity is not possible in isolation. However, charity is possible in congregation. That's another good one. Write that down. How can I endure with you if you're not here for me to endure with? How can I hope with you, brother or sister, if you're not here with me to hope in with through whatever it is you're going through? Notice, forbearing one another in love. That is going to be the fruit of charity within my life. And if you go down to verse number 12 in Ephesians, I kind of have the Bible app here with the two sides here. It's kind of cool here. All right, so I have the both scriptures there. In Ephesians 4, if we go down here to verse number 12, the Bible says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. All these gifts are meant to edify one another. You cannot do that if you don't physically congregate. You cannot do that if you're physically isolated. You cannot do that if you avoid other Christians. That is the opposite of charity. A couple of more verses before we close this evening on charity. I'll take you to 1 Thessalonians 3 and 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Essentially the same. I mean, it may be in your Bible literally on the right-hand side of that page. So 1 Thessalonians 3 and then 1 Thessalonians 4, and then our closing scripture will be in 1 John chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse number 12. Here's what the Word of God says. The Bible says, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another. And watch this now. Toward all men. Even as we do toward you. So how cool is that? The Holy Spirit wants to increase this charitable attitude within our lives as Christians. But notice, not just towards your brothers and sisters in Christ, but towards the unsaved, toward all men. So no wonder now why I had a peaceful day today at work, man. I could care less how such and such talks to me, such and such doesn't. Man, I'm thinking on Jesus. I'm meditating on his word, and I want somebody to know it. And if it's a smile, if it's a good attitude, praise God. That's what the Lord wants for me to do. He wants me to increase in love towards my brothers and sisters and towards them that are without. And in chapter 4, verse number 9, look at what he says here. He says, but as touching brotherly love, remember that scripture verse in Romans 12? Brotherly love, notice the combination. Ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. So go back with me earlier. John chapter number 14. John 15. What did he say in John 14? 15 through 24. He said, if you have my commandments, you keep them, you love me, you're the one that loves me, I'm going to love you, my Father's going to love you, and I'm going to manifest myself to you. When you have that word of God, brother, sister, and you're meditating on it sincerely, you're not just doing it for the sensations, you're not just doing it because somebody else tells you to, but when you are sincerely saying, God, I want to love you so much, I want to thank you for what you did for me. And if you call me to love my wife or my husband or do this, man, praise you, Lord, because you are worthy. You know what that Bible says? That they were taught of God to love one another. How awesome is that? not just me trying to be an example, because that's what the apostle just said in chapter 3, as we showed you. But you are taught of God to love one another. That's why I tell you, church, the question I'm always going to ask somebody first is, are you listening to him? Who, him that hear, are you going to listen to God? He will teach you. Praise the Lord. That's the good news. That's what I'm trying. I want you to build that stronger relationship with your master. Amen. And the last verse, 1 John chapter 5, and then we'll close on charity. 1 John 5. The Word of God says here in verse number 2, by this we know that we love the children of God, that's our brothers and sisters in Christ, when we love God and keep His commandments. Do you see there? All this, and after all that we've studied here this evening, what will be the natural byproduct of my love for you or your love for me? It'll be my love for God first. It'll show by how much I love Him and how much you love Him. When you show me a little bit of love and a little bit of charity, you know what that tells me? You got a little bit of love for God. But when you show me you have a lot of love and a lot of charity for me and vice versa, it demonstrates how much I love God and how much He's worthy of me and me to just love Him back so much to the point where, man, I could care less, brother, sister, you don't talk to me, that's okay, I still love you, man, you rub my, what do they say, you rub me the wrong way, indirectly, and all those things, you know, the flesh, those little things, how they say those idioms, but it's okay, brothers, I still love you, because, man, I've been meditating on God's love, I've been meditating on His forgiveness for all my sins. I've been meditating upon eternal life, and I have a home in heaven. So as I'm thinking on these things, man, I'm going to endure with you. I'm going to bear with you. I'm going to hope with you, because there's no amount of your lack that I won't be able to fill as I'm being filled with His love first. Does that make sense, church? So what is my call to encourage you this evening? You want to express charity. You need charity. Charity is superior to knowledge. Charity is superior to any gift. I don't care how crazy the Pentecostal gets and how charismatic with their hoopla and tongue speaking, even though it's silly. But without charity, Paul says he is nothing. He could have all the faith, he said. He can have all the understanding and all the gifts and all the knowledge of Bible. But he said if he does not have charity, he is nothing. So rather than clinging to a system of Bible interpretation, rather than listening to brother such and such teach me the Bible because I don't like brother such and such over there, or I disagree with him because pastor over here says, no. Rather than all that, let's work on your heart first. Let's work on your heart for God and your heart for others. That is the superior thing here, charity. That is the most excellent you can get. I mean, I'm talking about, you want Bible school? Okay, nothing wrong with that. You want a biblical degree? That's okay, but before you do all that, the best thing that God says you can get is charity. Because if you have all the rest and you lack love for your brother or sister in Christ because you don't want to talk to them, you don't want to fellowship, you don't want to give, you don't want to do nothing to support and help, demonstrate by action, all that is not going to profit. And you know what I found amazing here in reading the scriptures here this evening? Look at what Paul says here. In verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, you can be the best humanitarian out there, the Lord knows your heart, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Did you see that? I was like, whoa, that's crazy. Because not only are you going to lack by my disobedience, not only am I going to lack by your disobedience, but my own disobedience is going to hinder me. If I don't have a love for God, man, I'm not going to profit nothing. That's what he said. If I don't have charity, it profiteth me nothing. All those things that I think I'm doing for God and others, the Lord knows my heart. It's not going to profit me nothing. So that's why I emphasize and I encourage, and I teach and I hope by not only word, but indeed charity. Because we can have Bible, 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 and do much for Jesus, but if the members don't have care one for another, and if we have divisions and we walk carnally, as 1 Corinthians 3 says, God is going to call you carnal. He's going to call you a babe. You're immature. I want to be an adult. I want to get off all those childish attitudes and habits and characteristics. I want to be spiritual. I want to be mature. But it's going to start with me first loving God, honoring His word. And as I let God be true, as I let the Spirit of God have my mind and my heart and those desires that I want for sin, and I give it to Him instead, then loving you and being here for you and demonstrating charity and hoping with you, enduring with you, forgiving you, forbearing you, and you with me, it's going to come as a byproduct. You understand, church? So it's not a lack of God. It's a lack of obedience. Let's remember that. So charity, we need it all day long. Amen. It never faileth. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for this Bible study, Lord. Real simple, real calm, but powerful. Because these are the words of the living God. And this evening, some people heard it, Lord, and I'm thankful for it. And I just pray your Holy Spirit would comfort them through the scriptures. I pray for these individuals that are here this evening and them that are watching online, that you would help them where they're at in their own life with you. You know the secret things they have in their heart. You know the much they do for you and the much they don't do for you, Lord. But this evening, I pray that your Holy Spirit provoke them to consider their heart for you, God, because their love for others will be showing their love for you first. So, Lord, would you increase, like the scripture says, our love for God, our love for you, and our love for each other. Would you increase that within us, Lord? Would you teach us how to walk out in charity amongst each other? That is my open prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, church, well, the Lord bless you. Thanks for coming here this evening. For those of you watching online, thank you so much for tuning in. We do look forward to seeing you soon, hopefully in the flesh, Friday night, discipleship class, or future things, Lord willing. The Lord bless you.